Hello, and welcome to the Cancer Horizons podcast. In each episode, you'll hear from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals to do what CURE does best: provide cancer updates, research, and education. It's been more than 35 years since Peter Kahan and Dr. Ravi Munver first met. Back then, they were a teacher and his student, respectively. These days, the two men remain connected, but their relationship has evolved. Ravi is now a key member of Peter's bladder cancer care team as a urologic oncologist and vice chair of the Department of Urology at Hackensack University Medical Center in New Jersey. Peter was Ravi's honors physics teacher at the Dwight Englewood School in northern New Jersey in 1987, and the two men reconnected years later at a memorial service for a former teacher. Peter, retired from teaching and living in upstate New York, discovered blood in his urine in 2019, and he subsequently received a diagnosis of high-grade, non-muscle invasive bladder cancer from his local urologist. Immunotherapy and chemotherapy treatment followed, and when his cancer returned, Peter's doctors recommended he seek a cystectomy, or removal of the bladder and prostate. Peter reached out to Ravi, looking for a second opinion. In this episode of the Cancer Horizons podcast, Peter and Ravi speak with CURE about the importance of their friendship and their decision to embrace a new treatment option.
As director of minimally invasive and robotic urologic surgery, I'm always looking at novel techniques, novel therapies that can offer patients good results as well as a great quality of life. And when Peter had told me about these traditional therapies that are being used, we use them as well. We use BCG, which is a therapy where you instill a liquid in the bladder to treat bladder cancer to prevent recurrences. But it's not a chemotherapy agent, it's an immunotherapy agent where it creates an inflammatory reaction in the bladder to help minimize new cells from planting and digging roots into the bladder wall. When BCG fails, many urologists will jump to the next step, which is removal of the bladder. And that's what I learned in residency 22 years ago. And that's what people learned 30 years ago. And that's what people learned 50 years ago. That was the only algorithm. However, a lot has changed. And I wanted to make sure that if he needed his bladder out, that was the right thing to do. And it didn't have to be with me with robotic surgery. It could have been at any other institution of his choice. But at least I wanted to offer him a second opinion from someone who is in the academic space and knows all of the latest therapies out there. Whereas it seemed like his prior urologist, who was an excellent urologist, but was really just following a treatment pattern. You have bladder cancer, I scraped it out, this medicine didn't work. Now it's time for me to send you to another place to remove your bladder. And oftentimes, as you may know, when physicians refer patients to another physician, they send them with a plan already in mind. So when they see that other physician, you're coming to me for X, Y, or Z. Peter was coming to me, not for X, Y, or Z. He was coming to me so I could look at his history, look at his pathology, and formulate my own idea, because that urologist didn't refer him to me. I was looking at him as a patient who was looking for a second opinion.
And also, I would say that if I had to have my bladder out, I'd want Ravi to do it. Let's put it that way. to have somebody who really looks upon you as a friend, as a doctor that really can see you as more than just another patient, is great.
I think that's an invaluable statement. You know, there are a lot of physicians who are phenomenal, but when you meet them, to them, you're a patient and they care for you as a patient. It's very different when you either have a personal relationship with a physician or you have a physician who literally has a motto that says, "I treat all of my patients like my friends and family." Meaning, if Peter walked in the door, or a family friend walked in the door, or a distant family member walked in the door, I would treat them all exactly the same. One would not get more time or better treatment than another. So when you have physicians that have that motto, where they treat every patient as if they were their own family member or friend, You just get a different feel, flavor, and level of care.
Once Peter came to see you at Hackensack, what were you able to determine about his particular case, his particular disease, and what made him a kind of optimal candidate for the sorts of novel therapies that were eventually introduced as part of his care plan?
Right. So Peter came to me really at an optimal time because at the time when he came to me, BCG, this therapy that he had received, is something that we always offered patients. Now, we also offered patients one step beyond that. We offered patients BCG with interferon, which is an immunotherapy agent. And some of those patients would respond to BCG plus interferon. But beyond that, there was an older medicine that was available that is no longer really available or used for people who had recurrences of their bladder cancer when they failed BCG or BCG interferon. And since that therapy is really not utilized, people would essentially move to bladder removal. So entire removal of the bladder with robotic surgery and reconstruction of a new bladder out of intestine. And it wouldn't really function the same way. It would function differently than a normal bladder would work, but at least, someone would be able to live a life without cancer, assuming that the cancer was confined. But it was at the time when Peter had come that we had just received approval for a novel chemotherapy drug combination, which was also instilled inside the bladder in a liquid form, and that would touch all of the surfaces of the bladder and allow a different form of treatment. So not an inflammatory reaction that the BCG would offer, but actually chemotherapeutic action. So these two medicines together are both chemotherapy drugs. One is called gemcitabine, and the other is called docetaxel. And in combination, the two medicines would really have a cancer cell destroying effect. And clinical trials have been going on for years, but we weren't able to accrue enough patients across the country and across the world to really see a demonstrable effect. We needed at least several year data to be able to say, yes, this works compared to our traditional therapies. So we had just received approval from our institution through our institutional review board to be able to utilize these novel chemotherapeutic agents in the bladder. So when Peter had come to me and I had evaluated his case and I looked at the fact that he had failed the BCG and he had actually had been battling cancer of the bladder for some time, and I said, yes, one option is certainly to remove the bladder. However, we can try this novel chemotherapeutic bladder instillation to see if you have a favorable result. And if it doesn't work, we haven't lost anything. We can still move towards bladder removal. So that's what I talked to Peter about. And being a professor, being a scientist, Peter did all of his research. He literally, I probably went to the internet and, looked at other sources and did all of his research and saw what the options were available to him. And I think, Peter, you can probably continue the story from there.
It's worth saying that you did try BCG with interferon, and that didn't work. And then we tried some other stuff too. One thing I had what's called TURP, to transection, you can say it, to trim the prostate in case your concern was that was pre would pre be pre an enlarged prostate could be preventing proper expulsion of cancer cells hanging around. So we did that as well, and I guess you ended up removing tumors at least twice, and we also checked for cancer in the kidneys, which was not easy because he couldn't get into one kidney, so he had to end up putting a stent in and having another go at it, things like that. So there was it took about, well, I guess I it was this is 2023, so it wasn't till I think January of 2022 that this you began this new treatment. So I came in August 2020.
We had just hired a new director of research, and his name is Dr. Yaram, and he has come on board, and he's been integral, because when I learn about new therapies or new technologies and we need to get them into our institution, you know, having a young, fresh mind who is, you know, not as busy, but is also the director of research, he has the ability to do all the paperwork and make all the phone calls and the connections and get our therapies on board. You know, for someone like me who has an extraordinarily busy practice, it's difficult to make those appointments and it's time. And of course, I'll do that as necessary. But so partnering with Dr. Yaram, saying, okay, we have, you know, there are these new therapies, let's see if we can get these on board. So together we combined our knowledge, our skill, our passion, and our compassion as well, to bring this therapy on board.
Right. So it just happened to be at the time when I said to Robbie, I want to at least try gemcitabine before we give up. And then we tried this new therapy, not just gemcitabine, but the two together. That was, I had read on the internet that, well, after I found out you're going to do this, then I saw on the internet that other institutions had been doing this with not too much literature about it, but enough, and different protocols.
Right. When new therapies come about, you know, we look at trials that have been used, and we don't always know the best treatment protocol or the treatment algorithm. And sometimes we realize that, okay, while the therapy works, a different dosage or a different regimen or schedule may work better. We were initially doing a six-week course and then waiting and then using the same protocol that we would use for the BCG. And then we realized that this therapy, since it does work differently, perhaps giving it on a monthly basis rather than giving it for 6 weeks and taking a 3 month or 6 month break actually seems to have a better effect. And once this drug combination became FDA approved, institutions were able to play around with the timing and the dosage because there really wasn't a standardized protocol for this therapy.
This was at the time, a very new treatment, a novel therapy. And how important was that level of trust between you and Ravi, trusting that he, as your friend and as your doctor, was, giving you the best of care, that was, specifically best for your case? How crucial was that connection and that bond between the two?
Completely. As I said, that's one of the nicest things about having Ravi as a doctor. I know I can trust him to do absolutely the best possible.
And I can echo that as well. You know, I did not treat Peter as, oh, you're a subject, we're going to try this therapy on you, and if it works, it works, doesn't work. It was more one of these situations where I said, look, you know, he's my teacher, he's my one of my mentors, and the reason I did well in college physics as well. So I thought to myself, look, I need to do the right thing. And if this is not the right thing for him, I would say, look, Peter, unfortunately, this is a therapy we offer. It's not the best for you. But I go back to my motto of treating all my patients like my family members and my friends. I said, what would I do if this was one of my family members? What would I do if this was one of my closest friends? I would do the same thing. I would say, in this situation, this is an option for you.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. Find us on Facebook at Cure Today, Twitter at Cure_Today, and Instagram at Cure Today.